Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus 14. And even though I will be directing my comments tonight to your seniors at your church, I don't think there's any question that the message is for all of us tonight. Several years ago, matter of fact, it was about 17 years ago, I was teaching in Pensacola, Florida, a Sunday school series on Moses. I came to Exodus 14. It was a newcomer's class, and so there were people visiting that were not members of the church. There was a man and his wife and his family, Joe Fox, who was a carpet layer and a flooring company that he had. And he was visiting the church for some time. He ended up joining the church. But on one Sunday morning after Sunday school, I was preaching on this very section of scripture on Exodus 14, the crossing of the Red Sea by Israel. And at the end of the Sunday school hour, I had to get going to the main auditorium to get ready for the main worship service. And Joe came over to me and he said, Pastor, I got a question. And I said, Joe, I got to kind of get going, but what's your question? And he said, it's about your Sunday school lesson. Well, I felt pretty comfortable about my Sunday school lesson. So I said, well, Joe, what's your question? He said, why did God tell Moses to stop praying? I said, Joe, what are you talking about? He said, in the passage that you covered today, why did God tell Moses to stop praying? And I stopped in the hallway and I said, Joe, where did God say to Moses to stop praying? By the way, we heard about prayer today, pretty important. Look at Exodus chapter 14 and look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, hey, wherefore criest thou unto me? You don't need to pray anymore. Listen, this is what you need to do, Moses. Look at this. Speak unto the children of Israel that they, everyone together, that they what? Go forward. Hey, you know what? You tell them, Moses, you don't need to pray anymore. You tell them that they need to take their step of faith. Now, that is true for every one of us in this room, because the Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. But let me tell you, nine seniors, it is time now. Oh, man, have prayers been put up for you. There are parents, there are grandparents, there are Sunday school teachers, there's youth pastors, and there's pastors. There's all kinds of people in here that have prayed for you. But at some point, it's time for you to take your step of faith. And it says, wherefore criest thou unto me? You tell them to take their step of faith, because if they do not take their step of faith and trust in me, I am done doing anything for them. I have done the 10 plagues. I have done everything. It's now time for them to go forward. Now, I'm going to tell you what that words means, because the definitions here are just incredibly instructive. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's look. We're going to go a little bit into Exodus 13 and we're going to talk about Exodus 14. I've entitled the message tonight to our seniors and to our church tonight. It's time to pull up your tent pegs. It's time to pull up your tent pegs. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the weekend that we've had. What a great time with the single adults from this church. Father, I just thank you for the way that the people here have served and received the word. I take a moment, and Lord, though it may not be a part of my message, Father, I publicly lift up to you a friend that I do not know that well, but one, Lord, that has a heart for you. And I take a moment and I pray for the under-shepherd of this church. I thank you for Pastor. I thank you for his spirit, for his faithfulness. Lord, he does not have a spouse. I know what Marilee means to me. He does not have that spouse. I pray that you will protect my brother and that you will continue to put your hand of blessing upon his life as he leads, directs, and humbly serves this flock. And Lord, in those times of loneliness, may he find you to be his best friend. I pray that his study, and Lord, I think he's entering in, not to his twilight years, but to his triumphant years. I pray tonight what I give to the seniors, that Lord, I give it to Pastor too. May Pastor pull up his tent pegs and go into areas that he's never gone before. I pray, Father, that the future of this church will be very much guided by your hand and by your grace. And Lord, I do ask for all those that are in this church that they would take their step of faith. I don't care what age they are, Father, that they would pull up their tent pegs and follow you and trust you. And then, Lord, I take a moment and pray for these 9 young lives. I really do believe, Father, we're going to hear the shofar pretty soon. I think we're going to hear the trumpet, and I think we're leaving soon. But, Father, we don't know that, and only you know. Even your son doesn't know the hour, but you know the moment. You know the time. And I have no idea with these 9 young people how much time they have. But whatever time these seniors have on this earth, I pray that they would pull up their tent pegs and trust you by faith. So Lord, we dedicate their lives to you. I want to pray specifically for my friend, and I pray for the pastor here. I pray for this church. And tonight, may this message speak to our hearts about going forward for you. We pray these things in the only name that matters, and in the name we want these prayers to be answered. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, if you would, let's look at what happens here. Israel has left. The Passover has taken place. The firstborn had been killed. Pharaoh's firstborn was killed. And finally, Pharaoh comes to the realization, you need to leave. Get out of here. Now, we're going to come back to that in just a moment. But they leave, and God directs them to a very unique spot. It's a cul-de-sac. It's a dead end. There are 3 rocks, boulders, mountains that they are encompassed by. One is called Pi-hahiroth, one is Migdol, and one is Baal Zephon. And so they kind of come in this little corridor, and they're at a dead end. They're at a cul-de-sac. In front of them is the Red Sea, and behind them is Egypt, and these rocks are these big, like they're almost like mountains, are surrounding them. So there's only one way in, and as far as they know, there's no way out. And God is encamped there. Well, when Pharaoh hears about this, Pharaoh goes, this may be a powerful God, but he sure doesn't have a GPS system. And they are totally locked in. Let's go get them. This is going to be the easiest slaughter in the world. So Pharaoh and his army starts coming after them. And when that occurs, they, the Israelites, in the distance, begins to see the dust. And they begin to understand the Egyptians are coming after us. Way to go, Moses. Yeah, you led us out of Egypt only to die at the Red Sea. And if you pick it up, the story in verse 13, this gets really good. I like dramatic moments, and this is a big, you've heard of drama queens. My wife calls me a drama king, okay? So I'm big on drama. And this is very dramatic. They're all yelling at him, why'd you even take us out and everything like that? And then Moses gets up to preach. Verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. and ye shall hold your peace. Wow, amen, go to it, Moses. And then God says, Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? And so Joe Fox got this thing going in my mind. And I started thinking about this. So what exactly happened? So this is the way that I think it might have happened. When Moses began to see the dust, he turned and spoke to the Israelites. And he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians whom you have served, you will see them again no more. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will give you victory. And I think this is what happens. I think he turns around, looks up to the sky, he's looking at the Red Sea, and he does one of these. Now, Lord. He's got that rod, you know. Lord, now. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God, do something and do it now. And the Lord says, wherefore thou criest unto me? You tell them to go forward, because I am not doing anything until they take their step of faith. Now you need to get this, seniors. This is huge. Up to this point, a lot of people have carried you. Praise God for them. And they're still there. But at some point, it's got to become yours. At some point, you got to take your step of faith. You got to go forward. There's never a time. It's impossible to please God without faith. So there's never a time where you say, well, I don't have to trust in. No. Now, we talked about prayer this morning. You got to cry out to God, but I'll tell you, there comes a point where God says, now you do your part. And when you take your step of faith, I'll do my part. You got to go forward. Now, there's three things that I see here. There's so many. But there's three things here I want to deal with. I think you need to pull. Oh, so we got to tell you what to pull up. Oh, this is so cool. This is the best part of the whole message. Look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, and I need your help one more time. Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they, everybody in this auditorium, everyone together, what's the next two words? Oh, that was good. All right, so if you look that up in the Strong's Concordance, if you don't believe me, it's 5265. You look that word up. Do you know what that word means in the Hebrew? It means pull up your tent pegs. You look at 5265, it means to pull up their tent pegs. All he was saying was, listen, Israel, you pull up your tent pegs and trust in me. All I'm asking you to do is know you're about to move. You're about to go. Go forward in the Hebrew is pull up the tent peg. And when you pull up the tent peg, I will take care of the rest. But there's got to be a step of faith on your part. I think there's three things that I'd like to give to the seniors tonight and I give to all of you to pull up your tent peg and trust God. Number one, trust God, seniors, for his timing. Pull up your tent pegs and trust God for his timing. Look at chapter 13 and look at verse 17. And it, old radio preacher J. Vernon McGee, he said that the favorite verse that he had in the Bible was, and it came to pass. And he says, wherever it was, he said, that's his favorite, because he says, everything's going to come to pass. I like that. And it came to pass, now look at the next word, when Pharaoh had let the people go. Now this is a big, and it came to pass. This is a 400 year, and it came to pass. Israel has been in bondage for 400 years. And now it's going to come to pass. Now, I don't know what the Israelites thought, but I don't think that they ever thought they would be in bondage for 400 years. Their timing wasn't the same as God's. I know you guys aren't that old, but look back over your life. And by the way, this is a good time. There's three days in our lives. There's building days, there's battling days, and there's banner days. And you guys are about to graduate from whatever high schools you're going to, or homeschool or whatever. That's a banner day, okay? Tonight's leading up to the banner day, okay? But you're having a graduation service, and it's a, in all of our Christian life, there's building days, there's battling days, and there's banner days. There's not a lot of banner days. But when we get a banner day, we ought to just stop and reflect on what God's done. So, think back to being kindergartners. Think back to that great year of being a seventh grader. Isn't that like the worst year of anyone's life? If we could just go from 10 to 14, you know, and just kind of miss that 12, 11, 12, 13 thing, you know. But listen, this is really important, though. Go back and see the timing of God in your life. Now, I look out here, and I see a lot of silver heads. Look back over your lives. God's timing was usually not our timing at all. But he has made all things beautiful in his time. Hasn't it been true that God's timing is perfect? Now, with Israel, they were going like, God, let's get out of here. Let's get out of Egypt. But God was waiting. Now, listen to this, because this is so cool. Have you ever wondered, couldn't Moses have just gone to Israel? He's got the burning bush thing, you know, and God says, you're going to take Israel out of Egypt and just go get Israel, take them out of Egypt and go, I'll protect you, I'll take care of you. What did they have to wait for? Well, they had to wait for Pharaoh to give them permission. Remember this. This is good, seniors. God works through authority. Now, I'm telling you, you don't get as bad as authority as Pharaoh. That's about as bad as authority as you can get. But God works through authority. And they had to wait for Pharaoh to finally say, let him go. Get out of here. But because they waited for God's timing, what did they get? Look at this. This is so cool. Look at this. And Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the, and we'll talk about that in a moment. And, da, 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 da. But God led, look at verse 18. But God led the people about through the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, look at this, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. What were they harnessed with, Brother Shetler? All of the riches of Egypt. When Pharaoh finally let them go, they received, they got jewelry, they got gold, they got garments, they got all the treasures of Egypt. Because God's timing was perfect. Had they usurped that time, had they gone, no, we're just going to go right now, they would not have gotten all the blessings. And I will tell you, as I look back, I am not a waiting kind of person. You know, most of you have only known me for 2 days, but I think you guys could put enough together to go like, I don't think this guy does real good. Anyway, I don't like traffic at all. There's a thing called red lights. I do not like red lights. I go to a grocery store and I look for the shortest. I do not like to wait, but I have found that the richest blessings that I've ever received in life was waiting on God. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And when we wait, and I will tell you, senior, I think that some of the hardest things you will ever do in your life is wait on God. But you got to pull up your tent pegs and say, God, I'm ready when you are. But I want to go at your timing. They wait, that you got to pull up your tent pegs and wait on God's timing. Number two, you got to pull up your tent pegs and trust in God's trail. Wow. Just every one of you, just look back over your life. It just wasn't anyway the way that you thought that it was going to go. God's trail is not our trail. Look at this. This is so good. Verse 17, and it came to pass when Pharaoh let the people go. Now notice this, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. By the way, does anyone know what land that is? Does anyone know where the land of the Philistines was? Oh, you guys do. Have you ever heard of a place called Gaza, the Gaza Strip? That's it. You look, that's where the Philistines were, right where Hamas is today, Gaza Strip. That's right where the Philistines were. And God said, I'm not going to lead them that way. Now, if you take a geography lesson and you take Goshen, where Israel lived for 400 years, and you take the promised land and you draw a line. Now, I took this class, I don't know if you guys did or not, but I took this class in high school called geometry. How many of you guys took geometry? Yeah, okay, all of you. Oh, that's good. Okay, so I don't remember one thing in my geometry class, except the shortest distance. Come on, seniors, help me out here. The shortest distance between any two points is a straight line. A straight line. That's the only thing I remember from geometry. You know who didn't take geometry? God. God did not take geometry. Because I'm 67. My entire life has never been a straight line. And know this, seniors, it ain't going to be okay, God, here I am, 18 years old, and there's college there, and then there's that guy or that girl, and then there's this is the way we're going, God. This is it. I sit here, and I have no idea how much time you have on this earth, but I will tell you this. It will not be a straight line. God's trail will not be ever what you think. God will take you places that you go, God, why are we going down this road? Why are we going this way? And the trail of God, and that's why we trust in the Lord with all our heart. We lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways we acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. Now, but he gives you a couple things. You say, well, Brother Scheller, if he's not going to go in a straight line, how is he going to guide us? Well, look what he did for Israel. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire. So to give them light, to go by day and by night. Oh, this is really cool. We'll keep reading. Chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, Migdol, and Baal-Zephon. Okay, so he gives them two ways to guide them. Oh, I got this, Brother Shetler. He gives them the cloud, and he gives them the pillar of fire to guide them. Well, you're half right. He gives them the cloud, but the pillar of fire never moved at night. The pillar of fire gave illumination, and the pillar of fire gave protection. But they didn't travel at night. So the only time they ever moved was when the cloud moved. But they did give them Moses, too. God gave them Moses. So God gave them a cloud. And when the cloud moved, pull up your tent pegs. We're going. There's the cloud. Pull up your tent pegs. It's time to move. We're going forward, and we're going to follow the cloud. And then Moses would guide them. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt do this. Thou. And he would guide them. So they had two ways to guide them. They had a cloud, and they had Moses. Well, you guys don't get that. Now, back in 2006, Marilee and I left Pensacola, Florida. And we had been there for 31 years. And we left not knowing where we were going. And we were old. I mean, like, we were like in our 50s. And we're going like, man, I don't know where I'm going. We're like, man, I don't know. God, I know you're leading us away, but I don't know where we're going. We're pulling up our tent pegs, but we don't know where to go. Would to God we could have had a cloud in Moses. I mean, one morning, Marilee wakes up, and she looks out the window, and she says, Jim, you got to come here and see this. The sky is absolutely blue, but there's a cloud over our van. Oh, Marilyn, that's the cloud. That's the cloud that's going to guide us. And she says, Jim, there is this old guy standing next to our van. He looks like Charlton Heston. Oh, Marilyn, that's Moses. We got the cloud and we got Moses. Would to God, I could say, okay, when you graduate, there will be a cloud waiting for you, and there'll be some old guy out there with a rod that'll help you for the rest of your life. Well, you know what? You're not getting the cloud, and you're not getting Moses. But do you know what you are getting? You're getting the Word of God, and you're getting the Holy Spirit. And I got to tell you what guided Marilee and I when we left. No cloud and no Moses, but God and the Holy Spirit, and reading that book every day of my life, going, God, where do you want us? What do you want us to do? This church wants us to come and candidate. This place wants us. We want to do this. God, is that what God wants? And you know what? We allowed the Word of God and the Spirit of God to guide us. And you pull up your tent pegs and you trust God for the trail. Last thing and we're done. Trust God for His timing, seniors. It won't be the kind of timing that you think. Pull up your tent pegs. Trust God for His trail. But this is the toughest, but this is the coolest part. Trust God for His tools. God will use tools in your life that make no sense and that you will not like. But God's tools are to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. He will bring things into your life that will chisel away areas of your life that you don't need anymore. He will bring people into your life that will mentor, form, and sometimes you're going to butt heads against them. And God's tools are used to get us where we need to go. Now let me tell you the tool that He used for Israel. Pharaoh. And this was not a pleasant tool. But I want you to see something, because there's a truth in here that I want you to remember the rest of your life. Look at verse 3 of chapter 14. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Now the next verse, many people have struggled theologically with the next verse. It's mentioned 14 times actually in the Bible. But we're going to talk about this because this is so good. And I will, Beacon Baptist, what's the next word? I will what? Harden Pharaoh's heart. Now there are theologians that have struggled with this concept. I'm a pretty simple thinker, and this is not hard for me. 14 times in the Bible, it says Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Now listen, 8 times it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. 6 times it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. So, church, who hardened Pharaoh's heart? God or Pharaoh? And I know the answer. The answer is yes. Well, yes what? Yes, Pharaoh, or yes, God? The answer is yes. There is no question God hardened Pharaoh's heart, because God was being God, and He hardened Pharaoh's heart. The Bible says it 8 times. There's no question that Pharaoh hardened his heart. The Bible says it 6 times. Pharaoh hardened his heart. You say, Brother Shetler, that's not an answer. Well, let me give you an illustration that may help you the rest of your life. Years ago, we were in Arizona. We were at a timeshare resort for a weekend. My wife and I was given this little timeshare. And at that point in my life, I had never experienced 116 degree temperature. It was 116 degrees in Scottsdale at the resort. And I told my wife, I said, hey, honey, I'm going to go out and run. And she says, Jim, you cannot run. I said, no, I'll be fine. I won't run as fast and I won't run as hard, but I'm going to go out and run. Jim, you cannot run in 100. I said, no, I'll be fine. So I went out and ran 100 yards. And I said, this is like an oven. I can't do this. Now, everyone come with me to Scottsdale, Arizona, 116 degrees. And let's say I come out and I got a wagon. And in this wagon, I got a big box. And I open the box and it's full of mud, clay. And I reach down into that old muddy clay. And it's all mucky and it's all clay. And I take it and I slap it on the sidewalk. Everyone together, what's the temperature? 116. I take a little extra time, slap it on the sidewalk. And all that mucky clay is laying on that sidewalk with the sun shining out at 116 degrees. And I got another little wagon. And I take my other little wagon and I bring it down, oh, about 50 yards from the other one. And I open up my cooler and I take out a big block of ice. And I put the block of ice on the sidewalk. And I go in and have tea with my wife. About 3 hours later, I come out and I go over to where I slapped the clay and I look down and I go, whoa. I take my finger and I go, man alive, 116 degrees. The clay, everyone in this room, the clay. Okay, well, five of us got this. You've never been in 116 degree weather in dry Arizona. And the clay what? Everyone together, the clay. Okay, now, you guys got this, okay? And I go down, oh my. And I look at that big block of ice. Everyone together, help me out. And the ice hardened. What? The ice hardened. What are you guys saying? The ice what? No. Everyone together. The clay and the ice hardened. Well, wait a second. Was it a different temperature? Was it a different sidewalk? What made the difference? Now you hear this. The clay hardened because that was the substance. The ice melted because that's what it was. It wasn't the sun that changed. It was what it was. Now listen to me. Who hardened Pharaoh's heart? God did. God hardened Pharaoh's heart by being God. Pharaoh hardened his heart by being clay. And I will tell you, and Pastor knows this, you've been preaching 45 years now, right? 45 years you've been preaching. Is it not amazing at the end of a Sunday morning message, you go out to the foyer and you will have people come by, oh, Pastor, that was just the message I needed. You'll never know how I needed that message. And their heart melted. And the people that heard the same message walk out and they don't even make eye contact with Pastor. They get out in the car, they're on their way, and their heart hardened. The message was the same, but it is the way that they responded. Seniors, we may never see each other again till the judgment seat of Christ. But I am going to tell you all this. When God's word and when God speaks, don't harden your heart. Respond to the word of God. Don't ever have a place in your life that you, and you know what? You can go to a church like this and you can be a member and tithe and all that. And some of you have developed hardened hearts. Because you haven't responded to the message. Seniors, if there's anything, it's all about your relationship with God. Stay tender. Keep responding to God's word. This is a tool that was hard. So we come here and we see, and by the way, I gotta tell you one thing. This is just a little bit of humor, but I just love the Bible. Do you wanna know this? I call this the stupidest question in the entire Bible. So Pharaoh finds out where they are, and look what he says. Look at verse 5. And it was told to the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said. Now look at this. This I wrote down, I got right here in my Bible. Stupidest question in the Bible. Why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us? Why did we let them go? I would have given anything to have been there that day. Because when I went to school, I was not the sharpest pencil in the box. So I never got to answer any questions correctly. But I could have answered this question. I could have answered this question. Yes, 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 yes. You in the back. You know, why did we let Israel go? Oh, Pharaoh, can I give you 10 reasons why we let them go? Can I tell you? We didn't like the hail. Can I tell you? The boils hurt. Hey, we were tired of drinking the red Kool-Aid out of the Nile. Hey, we didn't like it. When we couldn't see our hand in front of our face, it was so dark. But this is my absolute favorite, seniors. Why did we let them go? All I had to do was this. If I could have just been in Pharaoh's court, this is all I would have had to do. Ribbit. Why did we let them go? The frogs. We let them go because of the frogs. Man, we were tired of the frogs. Now, I looked this up. I preached on all these plagues. And I looked this up. The Bible said the frogs covered the land. I looked up that Hebrew word, covered. You know what it means? Covered. It means covered. That means wherever they walked, squish, 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 squish. Ah, I can't stand it. I'm going to go to my bedchamber and spend the rest of my time there till these frogs go. And they would run to their bedchambers. Squish, 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 squish. They'd pull back the covers and they would jump in the bed and squish. Oh, Brother Shelley, you're getting sensational. Bible says they were in the bedchambers. And in the middle of the night, oh, I can't stand this. I got to get something to eat. Squish, 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 squish. And they'd go in the kitchen. They'd take out a loaf of bread. And they would bite into the loaf of bread. And it was squish. Brother Scheller, the Bible says they were in the kneading troughs where they made the bread. Why did we let them go? The frogs. But you know what? You begin to harden your heart. And you don't think right. You begin to reject what you're being taught, and you don't think right. I gotta tell you, I've dealt with a lot of college students that came to Bible college. They want to serve God, and they come in for counsel. And I sit there on the other side. I never say this, but I go like, okay, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. You're gonna ruin your life. What are you thinking, young person? And you know why that comes? Because they begin to harden their heart towards God. Seniors, keep a tender heart. And God uses tools. He used Pharaoh. I mean, that's got to be the most ungodly, wicked tool you could ever use. And there will be things that come into your life that you'll go like, God, I do not understand this at all. But you allow God to work. So seniors, it's time for you to pull up your tent pegs and go forward for God. So I don't know you guys that much, and I didn't invest nearly as much as some people in this church. And I'm not making a commercial. I may never be back here, but I am going to tell you this. Whoever gave for you guys to get the scholarships that you guys are getting, I just want to tell you, Beacon, that is some of the greatest investment you will ever make in the next generation. And whoever, and you know, some of us don't have those kind of resources. So you make sure you're praying for them. By the way, we talked about no hazy, crazy, lazy prayers. You get a prayer request from every one of these seniors. And you get tonight, I think there's a reception or whatever, you find out one thing about every one of them that they need prayer for. And you guys tell them specifically. Because, you know, more than even the finances, it'll be the prayers that'll lift you up. But those that invested in, you know, I didn't invest much. $1.48 Walmart, okay? But I tell you what I want to do. If you are all ready to pull up your tent pegs, kind of public, I'm pretty sure every one of you are going to stand up. But between you and God, and you do mean it, if you're ready to pull up your tent peg and go forward for God, you know what that means? It's not about your dreams. It's about God's desires. You're pulling up your tent peg And you're saying, God, I want to go where you want me to go. I want to go forward for you. I want to pull up my tent peg. God, I don't know what it means. I'm willing to wait on your timing. I'm willing to go the trail that you want. And God, I went and I grabbed that tent peg from Brother Shetler because you can use the tool that you want. But God, I want to go forward for you. So seniors, if your desire is to pull up your tent peg and go forward for God, would you come up to me and get a tent peg? Amen. 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 Pastor, I had one extra. Come on up here. My other, wait a second, I might not give it to you. My other 67-year-old, my brother. I don't know what God has. I don't know when the trumpet will blow. But Pastor, keep pulling up your tent peg.
Thank you, brother.
And go forward for God as well. Let's praise God for these seniors and praise God for your pastor. I bet.